My name is Elena Poveteva. I am Russian. I'm a human person. I'm a musician, first off. I work as a teacher in elementary school. And I'm 22. Just kidding, I'm 31. I've been living in Milan for about 7 years now. And, well, I don't know, I'm here to promote positivity, basic literacy, mental health awareness, and my band, Kartemira.
Well, I'm super glad to have you here. I think it's a good chance to talk about different topics, very broad topics too.
Sure, looking forward for it, and thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to hear myself speak. Good times. Just kidding. Go ahead.
And the first thing I always have to ask everybody, which I think you already know, but it's like a must here. How do you drink your coffee?
Oh my gosh, I wasn't prepared. I should have prepared. I drink my coffee. I love long drinks, so... the powdered coffee, the one with the instant coffee, I drink that.
In water or milk?
Water. Because I'm a supermodel. Watch my calories. Just kidding.
No sugar then?
No sugar. No, I'm sweet enough.
And you drink this only in the morning, throughout the day?
Are you kidding me? At least 7 drinks per day. Speaking of coffee. And then vodka. Just kidding. I should stop kidding. A lot of coffee. Do you enjoy it?
Coffee, yes.
Yes. Because I don't. I just need it. I just need caffeine.
So for you, it's more like a kick-me-up kind of drink.
Of course. Absolutely. Yes. I need it all the time. That's why I already had 2 Red Bulls today. Because I just need to be alive.
I think the morning coffee for me is different than the drink for flavor coffee.
Do you take your coffee with biscuits? In the morning?
No, not really. No. Do you?
No, of course not. Fried eggs, bacon, prosciutto crudo. That's my breakfast.
That's the thing. You are talking about a very, let's say, what I would consider more like an American breakfast.
Okay.
Long instant coffee, mm-hmm. You know, some sort of protein.
Yeah.
Very heavy to start the day, which is not the traditional Italian way. Here they are more about... small piece of sweet bread and a coffee, and that's it.
Yes, I appreciate their aesthetics of taking their breakfast this way with some pretty little cookie or a croissant and a tiny coffee, you know, steamy. You're not sitting down, you're standing, you're in a bar. There is a beauty to it, but it doesn't work for me. I need protein, I need energy, because my resources are limited and I just need energy. All the time. That's what I'm thinking about. Food and a long drink with boiling water just to feel my blood flowing. This kind of thing.
And this is something that comes from back home?
Sure, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And that's how I roll. I just need to be active. And that's it. I don't need like a second to regroup. And just be in a bar and have a short coffee and something with sugar. Absolutely not. I need pure energy to get things done. That's my philosophy.
So it's more like a personal thing.
Absolutely. It comes from experience.
Because I think in Italy, sometimes coffee can be a social experience more than a...
Yeah, I get that. But it's not necessarily has to be coffee. I have friends with whom I drink tea. That's a thing.
Tea is a very Russian thing, too.
It is.
So much more so than here.
Yes. Some people think it's like, is it English? Why do you do that? No, it's so Russian to have tea with, you know, pastries, something not necessarily sweet, more savory. It's kind of a meal in between meals, and it's a social event. Do you drink tea?
I do drink tea. For me, it's also more of a long drink, let's say. So I do appreciate the sitting down and the long conversations.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much.
There's something about hot beverages in general that just make people comfortable.
Yeah, that's why I'm super worried about Starbucks here. because I think Italians go there and still search for espresso in the menu, and it's not there.
It is, though. They tried very hard to make Starbucks Italian, which is an interesting part of their approach to how they came into Italy. They did that mistake in Australia, for example, where they have a very Italian coffee culture. And they just went there and said, well, this is an English-speaking country and we're Starbucks and everybody knows us and we're just going to be Starbucks.
Sure.
And it didn't work out. After a couple of years, they had to close down half of the Starbucks.
Are you serious?
They got bought out and now they're doing quite okay, but they're not Starbucks anymore. And I think they learned from that. And here they're doing more the Italian version. I mean, the reserve coffee that they have is... based on like Lucato's grind the beans and giving you a very special experience. And
okay, good luck to them. I don't think that pumpkin spice latte is going to find its way here, you know what I mean? They're going back to espresso anyway. It's just for tourists, I think, the Starbucks here. So I'm still to check it out. I have never been. I'm afraid of the long lines. Don't have time for that. Very busy woman.
But the experience for tourists is also a market, let's say, in Italy. There's a lot of tourism here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places where you, as someone that comes from somewhere else, find a little corner that maybe might be just like a commercial space, but then it still reminds you a bit of home.
Yeah, exactly. Something familiar. That's what you're searching for in an unknown land. If you're not from Spain or France, when it's very similar. I think Americans are drawn to Starbucks anyway. Maybe Russians as well, actually. Just because it's a familiar thing. Starbucks is big in Russia. Here, not so much. Why are we speaking about Starbucks now? I brought it up, I'm sorry.
I think it's a good introduction to many other things, just always talking about coffee. Because
yeah, you're right.
The way people drink coffee is always based on their life.
It's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what instant coffee tells about me. That I'm trash, probably.
I always thought about instant coffee that it was more of a convenient tea.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It doesn't do any good for you.
But like you said, for you maybe it's not so much about the taste. You're not looking for the perfect grain from Colombia.
Mm.
You just want...
a hot beverage.
That has some caffeine in it.
Yeah.
And so this gives it to you.
Yes, absolutely. I do not enjoy it. I just need it. You know what I mean? That's it. I enjoy other things, but not that.
What else do you enjoy?
Well, things that I try to do every day, something that I enjoy, and mostly music. It's one thing that gives me instant relief, the creative outlet.
For you, it's more about creating than consuming it, or equally important?
I do not listen to the music at all. Never. Ever. I do not.
So where do you draw inspiration from?
For my own music. Oh, everywhere. Mostly, of course, everyday experience. But if you check out the album which we released last year, you'll find out that there are songs about Anna Karenina, for instance. Five steps of dealing with the grief, focusing on the fourth step, which is acceptance and going into depressive stage. There's a song about Rosa Shanina, who was a Russian sniper during the Second World War. Things like that. Things you learn randomly and you want to somehow transform them into music, into poetry and music. So sounds random, but it's a pretty whole experience.
How does it associate with, for example, being a teacher?
Oh, it doesn't. It totally doesn't. It's just things I do. I do teaching because I'm good at it. And just being good at it and I have that feeling, it's going to sound very vain, but it's true. When I teach and I work with young children, I feel like I'm making a difference. Just because I find my ways to understand children and explain things to them. Not necessarily just I teach English, but of course, in the classroom we talk about everything. And I feel like I'm a positive influence on them. That's why I keep doing that. It's a hard job, but it pays off a lot. Just the feedback from the children. It's really worth it. But it has nothing to do with music, of course. It's just two parts of my life.
But I would like to think that the approach or the specifics that you try to share, maybe with a student, like you said, you're teaching English, but you talk about, obviously, other topics in there as well.
Yes,
and you're the one picking and choosing maybe what's important to you or what do you think it's important for someone else that you actually know.
Yeah, you're correct.
So there has to be a reasoning behind what you share, let's say, as a composer, as a writer, as a musician, and perhaps, like I said, maybe even as a teacher.
Yes, there are things which I think common in both areas of my life. I think it's self-acceptance. I always teach my students, be yourself, don't look at anybody else, do your thing. And kindness too. I feel like music has to do a lot with accepting yourself, finding your own voice, speaking your truth. That's very that. And I think that just I'm trying to be myself and be an example for them in this. Like the music which me and my band are doing, it's not necessarily like commercial for everybody. It's just us doing what we think is good, being ourselves, you know what I mean? It's very that.
You make what you actually want to listen to.
Well, as I said before, I don't listen to the music. Just, I can explain. It's like when you're reading a story, when you're reading a good book, sometimes you think, well, I could write a book, right? I have a lot of life experience, etc. And I tried that many times. As a linguist, as a philologist, sooner or later that comes to you. And I realized that for me it's more interesting to read a book rather to create my own story. And with music it's vice versa. I'd rather write something than listen to somebody else's creation. Something like this.
Do you think that's because of the medium?
Probably. Yeah, probably because of the medium. Could be.
When you used to be in Russia, you were already in a band? Or is this something that maybe happened here?
Oh, no. Of course, while being in Russia, I was in a number of different musical projects, which were varied from like very indie things which were in the moment back in the day, or something more pop, or something heavier, things like that. And when I started to think about doing my thing also here, musically, it was like starting from zero. I only restarted doing it in 2016, so I had a big break, and it was a whole other thing. But I was also more mature as a musician and as a person in general. So I found myself going from band to band, and rediscovering the whole production thing and the whole market, if you will. And it's very different here if compared to Russia. So that was kind of a big journey for me, finding my people here, discovering what I can do as opposed to what I want to do. And that's been tough. That's been a very different experience. And wow, that was something else. Just because, well, you yourself as a musician, you probably know that here the music scene is kind of unusual in a way, because there are not so many bands which do like a heavier kind of music, which I am into these days. And well, I feel like there's a lot of space for us, but at the same time, there are not too many people who are eager to collaborate technically. You know what I mean? Like studios or somebody who can help you with post-production or being your agent, things like that. I don't know if you noticed.
So both the market lacks these kind of offerings, but at the same time, because not a lot of people are actually kind of asking for it, so it creates its own opportunity and its own demise in a way.
Well, that's the thing. I think that people are asking for it. Here we go. I work in school, so I know a lot of young people who are preteens, teenagers, what do you think? What do you think they're listening to? I was under impression, like, what do young people like? Like, like pop American music, like Selena Gomez? No, of course not. They're not into this. All the young people I talk to, and I do talk to on a daily basis, they know, like, the most obscure, like, Norwegian, like, post-punk, post-rock bands. Like, because it's all there. Internet happened, so nobody's listening to pop music. It's amazing to me. There is definitely a need for music like this, something more out there, because young people are growing up and their taste is refined because they have access to so many things, also musical. You know what I mean? There are endless opportunities for musicians these days, and definitely you will find your listener. And like, I would think, like, there are such phenomena in Italian music, like rap. Nobody's listening to it. Do you know anybody who would say, like, my favorite artist is, like, I don't know, Fedez? What was his name? Those people don't exist. What's going on? They need something else. People are looking for something unusual. Young people, first off. That's why I think what I'm doing right now is definitely finding its audience here in Italy. Because people are hungry for new, unusual music, something more avant-garde, if you will.
And how do you feel about the industry being... You basically describe, now as listeners, we even enjoy the search for something that catches our attention. We enjoy the tasting of going here and there, and maybe the difficulty of finding something that is like, okay, I found my guys, you know, I'm gonna root for you now. But at the same time, we lost this kind of editing that the industry used to have. Like you said, people are refining their taste, but we lost the people who already had this knowledge. Critics, let's say, even, or producers that would choose to work with someone rather than someone else, and they would put things out, and they would put them out for a reason. It was perhaps, like you say, more popular, but they would put out things that were already distilled.
Yeah, that's true. They are distilled because the technology is so advanced, and you can do amazing things just at home. Just by mastering the production skills and just doing that. Well, that's a big disadvantage for me because I can't use software. I need people to help me. But at the same time, the pressure is kind of getting less tense these days because it's also interesting for the listeners to hear something more raw and more human. Because there's a certain feel to it, which post-production and just murders sometimes, you know?
We used to appreciate bands that sounded live just as good as they sounded in the studio.
Yeah.
And I think now it's very hard to find something like that. Someone who plays live with a band, or a band exactly, not a singer, with a backup band. And I think now, especially in rock or in metal, we're a bit going back to, let's make our album sound like we sound, instead of trying to make our live stage sound like we sound in the studio.
Yeah, it depends on what you're going for. Some people just really want to show, not necessarily their skills as a performer, but more of what they came up while experimenting with different sounds, and the whole post-production can be kind of an art itself, but it's a different experience. And I think that that is one of the reasons why, I don't know if you noticed, but in Milan, if some band, not necessarily super famous, comes to perform, their tickets are sold out. There is a need. People really love to come and hear somebody play live. I'm speaking not only about like superstars like Radiohead or I don't know. I didn't expect to see that Morrissey's concert was sold out some years ago. But also much less known bands, they come to perform and people are so eager to come and check them out because it's a different experience. It's a beautiful thing to be a part of the gig, the real music, real emotion. That's a great thing. That's an event for the Italian people, for people who live here in Milan. They really like it. And doing the live show this December in Legnano with my band, we really felt appreciated. That was an unusual feedback, very positive. I changed my perspective a lot. I saw that people are not only ready to hear something a little bit more avant-garde, but also are appreciating it on a whole different level. I heard people telling me that it was like very beautiful thing for them to be a part of this, and that gave me a certain kick to go on, and I can't wait to have more live shows because it's totally different from releasing a record. It's what being a musician is all about. Sharing your experience live on stage.
The feedback and interaction.
Of course, yes. It's very interactive and that's amazing. That's why I'm doing this, for this kind of feedback.
How do you feel about like the need for bands now, smaller bands especially, to be present, for example, on social media? That is so important now to be somewhere that people can, like we said before, just interact with you, be able to comment on your post and say, I really like your stuff. I'm from halfway around the world and I love you guys.
Oh my gosh, this is such a burning topic for me. Because yes, social media is so important, and what you're gonna post? You gotta post something. And I think what people really want is to see the real you, to see a human behind the just a member of a musical band. So I think that the best thing you can post is your process, the real things that you do to create music, to open a window a little bit for people to have a peek on how things are done. Like in our case, we're working on our second album now, and it's a complex process, and it's kind of a personal, but I feel okay sharing a little bit about it. It's because we are basing our second album on the tarot readings. That's unusual, I think. And I don't really know how to explain the whole thing because it's so complex. So there was a tarot readings, which I do. And we chose four cards, which spoke to each of us individually, four band members, four cards. And we based our lyrics for that album on the Italo Calvino's book, The Castle. And so we created those four pieces, long songs. The shortest is over 10 minutes, the longest is over 18 minutes. And it's going to be like a musical adventure, a very big trip, if you will. And so what we're trying to do now is to post little bits of the process, like little videos, very random, doesn't make lots of sense, just a little peek on what's happening, and hopefully soon it will all come together. So that's it. I think that's the way these days. You can't just post pictures, like perfect shots of yourself, like at the stage or whatever. Like, nobody wants that. It's not interesting for anybody. People want to be a part of your journey as human, not as a rock star. You know what I mean? Nobody wants that. It's in the past.
So you think the idea of a rock star is completely dead? I think, like the Rolling Stone magazine, for example, before, when you really liked a band, it was impossible to find information about the person, let's say, actual personal interactions.
Right.
They were very secluded. You had managers, you had producers, you had people telling you who to talk to, what to talk about, when to talk about it, what to promote. There was people in charge of your image, in charge of this, in charge of that. And everything that we consumed was very, very, already very redacted, let's say.
Oh, yes.
And now we have this freedom of even posting a comment and having someone from the band reply.
Exactly.
That's something that we didn't have 15 years ago.
You couldn't imagine. Things were so polished.
So people became human, like you said.
Yeah.
David Bowie could have been, you know, something completely different. Not this unattainable godly creature.
Yeah, I know. Well, there was a beauty to it, I should admit. This glamorous kind of, you know, attire. But it's in the past. Like, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm not interested anymore in things like that. Like, the bands which I admire, I don't want to just... It's not... I don't want their poster. You know what I mean? I want to have a peek. If they have Instagram, I want to see what they're all about. The real person behind the music which I'm listening to. Which doesn't mean that I, like, want to be friends with them. I just want to relate. Relate in a way. Find something which is mine in their music is one thing. But if you're putting yourself out there in the Instagram or any other social media, well, either admit that it's not you, it's your manager who's just posting your pictures, or be present, give some feedback on that. It's your call, it's your choice. And when we speak about that independent music scene, I think it's inevitable that you should share, like, the real you. And there is so much you can actually explain via social media, which probably could add to the value of the final musical product. And I think in the music that we do with Cartamira, it really adds to the actual sound, because there are also stories which we can explain in a way. So that's why I really appreciate the platform that Facebook or Instagram gives us. That's just 2019. What can you do? Just roll with it.
The freedom of making an 18-minute piece of music and have it be streamed somewhere. We are a bit going back to those, let's say, Pink Floyd ideas, like grand ideas of, I want to share something, and I just luckily nowadays maybe have the space or the time.
Right.
But what do you think about the attention? Because a lot of people, especially younger generations, might not have this culture of listening to a whole record or experiencing something like literally an experience. Consuming singles here and there and making playlists became more of the norm. How do you expect people to just give you attention for 18 minutes?
That's a great question. I have no idea. But that's a part of it. I have no idea how it's going to be consumed by people. But at the same time, this whole conceptual album, if you will, there is a need for this song to be 18 minutes. Because that is a long story which needs to be told in this format. Because that's how we see it. And all we can do at this point is to hope that we will not be misunderstood. And I have my hopes really high on that one. So I really believe that people will get it. And if they won't, well, that's impossible. Somebody will get it. You know what I mean? it's so many people in the world, and I'm sure we are finding our audience. Honestly, when I started with this band, I did not believe necessarily in their view of things and music, because I was, I think my mentality at that point was a little bit backwards, because I didn't have very big expectations here in Italy to find musicians to work with who would think outside the box. And the guys I am in the band now really showed me that I'm wrong, and that no matter how out there you go, you will find somebody who will get it. Because hey, it's a modern world, everything, there are no boundaries, and people are open-minded, and you will find your listener no matter what. Just do your thing and dedicate and get your mind straight and just do your thing. It really, it is working for me. But to get there, yeah, I had some mental constraints, because I don't know if you noticed, in Italy, and even in a big city like Milan, most bands you'll find are still doing covers, tribute bands, things like that, all over the place. There are barely anybody who is actually focusing on creating their own music. Like that's a thing, and it's unexplainable to me. You know, like going to a place and finding out that there's going to be like a guy with a band sitting on a high bar stool with lyrics printed in his hand, singing, I don't know, Queen songs, reading the lyrics. You know, that's a thing here. It's a thing, for real.
How do you feel about that idea of the ownership of something? When I buy an album online, mm-hmm. is it really mine? Do I? When I have a copy of an album, it's something that I can touch, that I can share, that I can take mm-hmm. with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these electronic bits and mm-hmm. bytes.
I have the same feeling, because when I was younger, I had cassettes. And when I had my favorite band on a cassette, it really felt like so personal. It was such a deep experience buying that cassette, or like copying from the CD of somebody. It was, I think, however, for now, like at this current day and age, I don't necessarily get it, how it is possible these days to like buy a vinyl, and through that feel like this is the music which is my own, like I am owning this record. I don't know. I think things are so changed now. The mentality is different, and just buying an album online and just having it like in Apple Music and so on your phone, it's not necessarily bad. It's different, and I'm not sure how other people feel about it. Probably you're right, because as I told you before, I don't listen to the music as much, if not compared to when I was younger. So for me it works this way, just finding music online. But I do get why people say it's not enough.
So you said that you read more than you listen to music, for example. In the same track, what are you more, a Kindle reader, or do you actually buy paperbacks?
Definitely paper. Yeah. Paperbacks.
Which I would say for me is like the vinyl.
It depends on what you're searching for and consuming it, because there are books which I would just listen to as an audiobook, and it's better than nothing. Do you know what I mean? Because I have a daughter, my hands are often full. Like I don't have an opportunity to actually sit down with a book. And doesn't matter, Kindle book or a paperback, doesn't matter. It's just the fact that I'm so busy physically that sometimes I would just listen to the book, and it works. Just because I'm just trying to be modern, you know, and I want to get things done. So
it's just your instant coffee.
Exactly. Exactly. That's very clever. Yeah. Well, what you gonna do? It's better than nothing.
Accessibility is important, like you said. In the end, the easy way to consume something might be sometimes the most convenient for a lot of people that perhaps otherwise wouldn't have.
Exactly. Yes, they would just ignore it. They would just prefer not to pay attention to it. So, I'm very grateful for the fact that it's accessible. Why not? It's not as good, but nothing's perfect.
And just to round things up, what would be one thing, let's say specifically about Milan, that you would have to recommend to someone that is a foreigner here? Mm-hmm. Perhaps staying in short term, let's say not just a tourist that comes for a weekend.
Right.
But someone that's gonna have the time to experience something else.
Actually, I think if compared to many places in Europe, and not only in Europe, Milan is a perfect place to just go in the center and get lost in a city, just walking, just seeing things around, like architecture, the spirit of the town. You don't have to have a map. You can just get to Duomo and just walk and you'll see it all. I think that's pretty unique because of the size of Milan and because of how it's pretty tourist friendly for me, and it has a lot of different things to offer. For me, that's the best thing. You can't just go to Paris and just like walk. You need to have a plan. Milan is the perfect place to be spontaneous. Just get here and get lost. That's amazing. That's unique for me. That's why I always recommend people to come here.
So just walk?
Yeah, just walk.
That's great.
And you can be alone as well. You don't need company. Just walk. That's it.
Well, thanks so much for coming onto the podcast. And please check out her band, which is called...
Cartamira. Thank you so much. I hope you will put a link under this.
I will put the link for all her social media, obviously, so you can go bother them with some comments down there.
Yes, please bother us.
And hope to have you back again sometime so we can talk
about you. I will be very glad to return. Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.